Right, in your Bibles tonight, how many of you have ever been in a hard place? How many of you know how to make it through the hard places? Some of you have come through some mighty difficult places. But I want to speak a little bit to that tonight, and trust you'll give me a hearing. And I'm going to take my text from Job. I think Job probably experienced as much hard of the hard places in his life as anybody I know. And yet he made it through, and God blessed him more in the end than he did in the beginning of his life. And he learned some things along the way, and I believe that God is teaching us some things too. But we can make it through the hard places in life. I take my text from Job 3, verse 25 and 26, and I'm going to be using two or three passages from Job, so just keep your Bible open. But in Job 3, verse 25, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me." Have you ever thought about that? You ever lie awake at night and worry and wonder, well, what if this happens and what if that happens? Job said, "The thing I feared worst has come upon me. And that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came." In chapter 14, in verse 1, a verse that I have spoken of often, "Man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble." Let us pray. Father, speak to our hearts tonight, and may we glean from this message some precious truths that will be a strength to us and a light on our path as we walk through the difficult places of life. In Jesus' name, amen. A few years ago, they called it Black Monday when the stock market crashed overnight. I don't know if that affected you very much or not. It did a lot of people. I was in Portland, Oregon, at the time with my wife Helen. We were visiting a dear friend of ours who was in the hospital there with a heart attack. Used to live here. We became close friends, and his name was Ralph Whitmus and his wife was Mildred. And they're both now with the Lord. But they were dear friends of ours, and we were there. And while I was out of town on this particular Monday, another friend was frantically trying to get up with me. I didn't have a cell phone at the time, and so I was unaware of how desperate the situation had become. When I returned home, my friend told me that on that Monday morning, he lay on his office floor with a .38 revolver to his head and seriously considered taking his own life. He had lost $250,000. Would have lost his home had his wife not refused to mortgage it to invest in the stock market. It was indeed a Black Monday for him. But things did eventually turn around for this man. He recovered his losses in the stock market, and he is now retired and doing well financially. Nicky Jordan was a friend of mine in Marshfield. He used to be a farmer, but not now. Years ago, after 3 years of drought, 3 years in a row of crop failure, he lost his farm, lost all of his equipment, lost his vehicles, had to declare bankruptcy, quit the farming business altogether, and started again from the bottom selling insurance. Have you ever been so worried that you no longer wanted to live? In Job 3:11, he asks the question, "Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly?" Job reached a point of cursing the day he was born and wishing that he had died as a baby. One man told of how depressed his father got when the bank that held his mortgage abused and insulted his father. After 30 years of hard work, he had nothing but debt and humiliation. It was more than he could take. He worried. His health broke. He had no desire for food. He lost weight. The doctor told his family he would be dead in 6 months if something didn't change. He literally was so worried he did not want to live. His wife sensed the desperate situation he was in, and when he would go to the barn to feed the horses and milk the cows, when he didn't come back as soon as she expected, she would literally go out to the barn fearing that she would find his body dangling from the end of a rope. One day, as he was returning home after the banker threatened to foreclose the mortgage, he stopped on a bridge and stood for a long time looking down at the water, debating with himself whether he should jump in and end it all. But it was years later, the father told his son that the only reason he did not jump was because of his wife's deep, abiding, and joyous belief that if we loved God and kept his commandments, everything would eventually come out all right. And that mother was right. Everything did come out all right in the end, and his dad lived another 42 happy years. How did they make it? During all those years of struggle and heartache, that mother never gave up on God. She took all of her troubles to God in prayer. And every night before they went to bed, mother would read a chapter in the Bible. And after reading those comforting words of Jesus, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also." She would kneel down before our chairs in that lonely farmhouse and pray. She prayed for God's love and protection, and most of all, for God's will to be done. When William James was professor of philosophy at Harvard, he made this statement: "Of course, the sovereign cure for worry is religious faith." But you know what? Godly mothers don't have to go to Harvard to discover that. Neither floods, nor hurricanes, nor tornadoes, nor tsunamis, nor debt, nor disaster, nor war can suppress the victorious spirit of a faith-filled mom. Did you know that a vibrant faith in God can give you a new zest for life? More life, a larger, richer, more satisfying life. The Bible says in John 10 and verse 10, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." And today it is real faith in Jesus Christ that gives us faith and hope and courage. It banishes tensions and anxieties and fears and worries. It gives purpose to life. It gives direction. It vastly improves our happiness and our health. Someone said, "Trusting God creates an oasis of peace amidst the swirling sands of time." And how true that is. Many psychiatrists today realize that prayer and a strong religious faith will banish the worries, the anxieties, the strains, and the fears that cause more than half of all of our ills. At the age of 78, Henry Ford was asked if he ever worried. You know what his answer was? He said, "No, I believe God is managing affairs and that he doesn't need any advice from me. With God in charge, I believe that everything will work out for the best in the end." So what is there to worry about? Amen. Amen. Jesus taught, let not your heart be troubled. He said in another place, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He commanded his disciples, when falsely accused and persecuted, to rejoice and leap for joy. How hard is that? Jesus declared that there were only two main things about life. I mentioned them in the prayer room this evening. Two main things about life. And when you see these two things in someone's life, you may pretty much tell that there's faith in their hearts, and that is loving God with all their heart and soul and strength, and loving others. Amen. Loving God, loving their neighbor as themselves. William James, they call him the father of modern psychology, wrote to his friend, Professor Thomas Davidson, saying that as the years went by, he found himself less and less able to get along without God. Isn't that amazing, coming from a psychologist? But life has its ups, and those are wonderful things. But life also has its downsides. Life has its dark side. There is a Scandinavian saying which some of us might well take as a rallying cry for our lives. It takes a north wind to make a Viking. Think about that. The north wind is what made the Vikings. Wherever did we get the idea that secure and pleasant living, the absence of difficulty, and the comfort of ease ever of themselves made people either good or happy? Upon the contrary, people who pity themselves go on pitying themselves even when they are laid on soft cushions. But always in history, character and happiness have come to people in all sorts of circumstances, good, bad, and indifferent, when they shouldered their personal responsibility when the times were hard. Takes a north wind to make a Viking. Harry Emerson Fosdick told the story of a world famous violinist. He was giving a concert in Paris when the A string on his violin broke. Did that ruin his concert? No. What did he do? He simply finished the melody on three strings. And that's life, isn't it? To have your A string snap and finish on three strings. That's not only life, it's more than life. It's life victorious. It is life triumphant. William Bolitho said, the most important thing in life is not to capitalize on your gains. Any fool can do that. The really important thing is to profit from your losses. And that requires intelligence, and it makes the difference between a man of sense and a fool. Let me give you an amazing true life example. Here's one woman's story. During the Depression, she writes, my husband's average salary was $18 a week. Many times we didn't have even that because he didn't get paid when he was sick, and that was often. He had a series of minor accidents. He also had the mumps and scarlet fever, repeated attacks of the flu. We lost the little house that we had built with our own hands. We owed $50 at the grocery store and had five children to feed. I took in washing and ironing from the neighbors and bought second-handed clothes from the Salvation Army store and made them over for my children to wear. And I made myself sick with worry. One day the grocer to whom we owed $50 accused my 11-year-old son of stealing a couple of pencils. My son wept as he told me about it. I knew he was honest and he was a sensitive lad. And I knew that he had been disgraced and humiliated in front of other people. And that was the straw that broke the camel's back. I thought of all the misery we had endured and I couldn't see any hope for the future. I must have become temporarily insane from the worry because I shut off my washing machine. I took my 5-year-old daughter. We went into the bedroom and plugged up the windows and cracks with paper and rags. My little girl said to me, "Mommy, what are you doing?" And I answered, "There's a little draft in here." And then I turned on the gas heater we had in the bedroom and didn't light it. As I lay down on the bed with my daughter beside me, she said, "Mommy, this is funny. We just got up a little while ago." But I said, "Never mind, we'll just take a little nap." And then I closed my eyes and listened to the gas escaping from the heater. I shall never forget the smell of that gas. And suddenly I thought I heard music. I listened. I had forgotten to turn off the radio in the kitchen. Well, it didn't matter now. But the music kept playing. And presently I heard someone singing an old hymn. "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." She said, as I listened to that hymn, I realized that I had made a tragic mistake. I tried to fight all my terrible battles alone. I had not taken to God everything in prayer. She said, I jumped up, turned off the gas, opened the door and raised the window. I wept and prayed all the rest of that day. Only I didn't pray for help. Instead, I poured out my soul in thanksgiving to God for the blessings He had given me. 5 splendid children, all of them healthy and fine, strong in body and in mind. I promised God that never again would I prove so ungrateful. And I've kept that promise. Even after we lost our home and had to move into a little country schoolhouse that we rented for $5 a month, I thank God for that little schoolhouse. I thanked Him for the fact that we at least had a roof over our heads and a place to stay warm and dry. I thank God honestly that things were not worse, and I believe that He heard me, for in time things improved. Oh, not overnight. But as the depression lightened, we made a little more money. I got a job and sold stockings as a sideline and to help put himself through college. One of my sons got a job on a farm, milked 13 cows morning and night. I'll bet he had the strongest hands in school. She said, "Today my children are grown up and married. I have 3 fine grandchildren." As I look back on that terrible day, when I turned on the gas, I thank God over and over. That I heard the song and that I woke up in time. What joys I would have missed if I had carried out that act. How many wonderful years I would have forfeited forever. Whenever I hear now of someone who wants to end his life, I feel like crying out, "Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it." The blackest moments we live through can only last a little time. And then comes the future. Oh, the people committing suicide in the United States, young and old. No, the people going insane, and most of these could have been prevented if these people only had the peace that comes through faith in God and prayer. Just being able to say, "Father, not my will, but Your will be done." Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Matthew 6:25 and following, "Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." You see, these are the instructions that Jesus gave to His disciples about how to keep from worrying. We ask you tonight, are you lonely? Are you worried? Do you feel beaten down? Take it to the Lord in prayer. If you really believe His word to you, when you take it to Him in prayer, just humbling yourself and saying, "Lord, Your will, not mine," I believe you will experience a miracle. Your nervous tension will melt away. Your anxiety, your fear, your worries will be transformed into heartwarming courage and hope and triumphant faith. Here's L.G. Beard, when faced with stark tragedy, discovered that she could find peace and tranquility by kneeling down and praying that simple prayer, "O Lord, not my will, but Yours." She said that one evening our telephone rang 14 times before I had the courage to pick up the receiver. I knew it must be the hospital, and I was terrified. I feared that our little boy was dying. You see, he had meningitis. He had already been given penicillin, but it made his temperature fluctuate, and the doctor feared that the disease had traveled to his brain and might cause the development of a brain tumor and death. The phone call was just what I feared. The hospital was calling, and the doctor wanted to see me immediately. The things that she feared greatly came to her. But she writes, maybe you can picture the anguish of my husband and I. The anguish we went through sitting there in the waiting room. Everyone had his baby. But we sat there with empty arms wondering if we would ever hold our little fellow again. When we were finally called to the doctor's private office, the expression on his face filled our hearts with terror. His words brought even more. He told us that there was only one chance in four that our baby would live. He said that if we knew another doctor, to please call him in on this case. On the way home, my husband broke down. And doubling up his fist, he hit the steering wheel, saying, "Betts, I can't give that little guy up. We stopped the car and after talking things over, decided to stop in church and pray. And you know what we prayed? We prayed that if it was God's will to take our baby, we would resign our will to His. She said, I sank in the pew and said with tears rolling down my cheeks, not my will, but thine be done. And she said, the moment I uttered those words, I felt better. A sense of peace that I hadn't felt for a long time came over me. And all the way home, I kept repeating, O God, thy will, not mine, be done. She said, I slept soundly that night for the first time in a week. The doctor called later and said that Bobby had passed the crisis. I thank God for the strong and healthy four-year-old we have today. Why does faith in God bring us such peace and calm and fortitude? William James says, the turbulent billows of the fretful service leave the deep parts of the ocean undisturbed. And to him who has a hold on vaster and more permanent realities, the hourly vicissitudes of his personal destiny seem relatively insignificant things. The person filled with faith in God is accordingly unshakable, full of composure and steadiness and peace of mind, and calmly ready for any duty that the day may bring forth. When you're worried and anxious, take it to the Lord in prayer. I'll never forget the Saturday afternoon that they called from Carolina Regional Medical Center in Charlotte and said that my dad would not make it. He had had a blood clot that went to his lung from a surgery. And they said, you need to get to the hospital as quickly as you can and call the family. I remember driving to the hospital, which was almost an hour away. I was a fireman at the time, and I had my little red light that I put up on the dash, and I'm ashamed to tell you, law officers here tonight, but I broke the speed limit. But I put that little red light in the windshield, and here I went. But I got there, and Dad was living, although he couldn't talk to me. But I found a quiet place. And prayed. And the peace that this woman has talked about was the same peace that filled my soul that afternoon. And no, I couldn't tell you what was going to happen. I had no idea. I just knew that I had left it in the hands of God. And peace came. The interesting thing is that my dad didn't die that day. As a matter of fact, my dad lived for about 12 more years. An even more interesting thing is that the doctor who called me actually died before my dad died. But I'm saying that tonight, that through prayer, we can link ourselves with the inexhaustible power that spins this whole universe. Prayer will help you put into words exactly what's troubling you. Ask God's help. Tell Him what you need. Prayer gives us a sense of sharing our burdens, of not being alone. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. When we can't tell anyone else, we can tell God. Prayer puts into force an active principle of doing. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Some of you tonight may need to unburden your heart. Some of you may need to go home and go to your bedroom or to your closet and shut the door and kneel down and unburden your heart. If you don't know what to pray for, why not just pray something like this? Lord, we don't know what's best for us, but you do. And for that we pray. O God, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm saying tonight, with faith in a living God, you can make it through the hard places. I wonder if God is saying to someone here tonight, we need to talk. We need to talk. Take it to the Lord. in prayer. He will meet you there.